This one thing I know, the poll tax and Jim Crow and greed have got to go. You're bound to lose. You fascists are bound to lose. Are you fascists about to lose? You fascists about to lose. You fascists about to lose. You're about to lose. You fascists about to lose. People love every colour, marching side by side, marching past the fields where a million fascists died. You're bound to lose. Are you fascists about to lose? Are you fascists about to lose? You fascists about to lose. You fascists about to lose. You're about to lose. You fascists about to lose. Take my union gun. Gonna end this world of slavery before this war is won. You're bound to lose. Are you fascists or bound to lose? Are you fascists about to lose? You fascists about to lose. You fascists about to lose. You're about to lose. You fascists about to lose. Are you fascists about to lose? You fascists about to lose. You fascists about to lose. You're about to lose. You fascists about to lose.
It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
It is Friday, September 30th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the, well, not even the literal nor metaphorical shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. I am in an undisclosed, shofarific, location, celebrating the Jewish New Year. Today on the program, as we do on every casual Friday, Mr. Cliff Schechter will be joining us. Also, we will get a live report from Occupy Wall Street, still growing, and more people joining the party, and not just people, institutions, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're going to have Chris Rosen, but to be honest with you, I had so many different things to do, I didn't really pay much attention to that. So, in the meantime, let us now call Mr. Cliff Schechter. And, oh, you know what I got to do? Cliff, are you there? Cliff?
I'm here.
All right, you are on live, but forgive me for one second. Let me just do this, if I might.
Why, sure.
You can't hear it.
No, I can't, but I bet you're playing it.
That's right.
New media, public relations,
I am
and strategy.
Bad voice, and that might
you want any of these services, you know who you gotta see.
Libertas LLC.com.
All right, you couldn't hear that, but that, of course, was your theme song.
Excellent. I'm a big fan of it. Now, Jimmy Reaper Cake rocks the house.
Now, you know, I may not sound great to you, but you sound wonderful to us, so just keep that in mind.
Ooh, that's very kind of you, Sam. Thank you.
Now, Cliff, you know, I've been out of it. I was in Shoal yesterday celebrating the new year. Oh, and, you know, there was a great remind me to get to this, because it was actually a great thing in one of the Haftorah. So I don't know. I pulled something from. I actually got something out of going to temple.
Hey Sam, I'm getting a little interference. You're coming in and out a little bit to me.
Oh, all right. Well, you sound fine to us.
Okay, just want to make sure I understand you. That's all.
Oh, okay. Is it really that bad? Is it that bad or no?
For a few, yeah. I mean, it went in and out, so I missed a little bit of it.
All right. Well, I was just talking about temple anyway, so don't worry about it. all right. Well, first off, this week now, so I've been out of it for the past day and a half or so, but are people still talking about Chris Christie?
It seems like it. you know, he's quite a girthful man. And
all right, let's just get this out of the way. The dude is really fat. But,
I try to find 100 different creative ways to say it, but if we're going to be honest about things, it's funny that he's like the great, they're great, to quote a phrase, a white knight, so to speak, because, you know, he really doesn't look very presidential.
Right. Now, you know, for people like you and I, if Chris Christie was a great liberal, we would get over it. We wouldn't be an issue for us.
No, and you know, in the end, it's really not an issue so much as it's really a lot of fun to make fun of him because he's kind of a jerk. But I would say that I'm being objective, and I think I could say that if we're talking about Democrats, you know, as an analyst, let me move away from being obnoxious for a second and say, you know, he doesn't actually really look like a president. I mean, let's face it, you know, I'm not a fan of Mr. Perry or Mr. Romney or those guys, but they look like presidents. You know what I mean? You know, Christie, it's not just his weight. It's kind of the way he carries himself. It's sort of his whole demeanor. He looks more kind of like a WWF wrestler.
But that's the quality that gets like all the sort of center right commentators so excited about this guy, right? Because he's like, he's got this faux sort of like, hey, you know, I'm from Jersey, whatever, you know, it's like I'm gonna talk straight from the hip, and these guys love it because they like to feel like they're blue collar guys.
That's true. It plays very well into the whole village thing, you know, of the guys that are making seven figure salaries to be on TV and still, you know, and often still think of themselves as working class because they might have grown up in something that was middle class at some point.
Right. Not, right. I mean? That's exactly what it is, right? I mean, these guys are like, yeah, I can go back down to my roots and, you know, and yeah, mix it up with all the guys.
You know, me and Tony, we grab a couple of hamburgers, you know, we're at the stadium. Yeah.
All right. And
that kind of thing.
But the reality is, all right, let's step aside. I mean, look, Chris Christie is now sort of brought himself up to sort of like moderately popular in New Jersey. The guy, I think, you know, I have said for almost since the launch of this show, my two favorite days in Chris Christie's presidential run will be the day that he announces and then the day after New Hampshire when he quits the race. And, 'cause this guy, I think, has no chance of winning, but what does it say? I don't even think he has a chance of winning the Republican nominee. I think this guy is Rudy Giuliani all over again. He's America's governor. And what does it say, though, about what's going on in the Republican primary that Chris Christie is – people are still dreaming of him as – they're still looking for another savior, I should say.
Well, it tells you that, you know, the Republican Party, I think they've got like this cult-like fixation with personalities. They need to be in love. You know what I mean? We know that from Reagan. I mean, you know, he's the sexiest dead 104-year-old that you ever will find. You know, they you know, for a party that claims to be of the religious, you know, anti golden calf variety, the Mount Rushmore like love they have for putting idols up on you know, I mean, you know, they go after the left, you know, for Hollywood connections, and yet they fell in love with, like, Charlton Heston because he played, you know, Moses, and they love Arnold Schwarzenegger and all the, and obviously the rest, and you know, they're the ones that, if you look at who most of the sports, you know, most of the famous athletes and actors who've gotten elected, they've been Republicans. Some of them pretty funny ones, like Gopher from Love Boat. I'm a big fan of his.
I've actually been on a panel with Fred Grandy.
I've heard if you call him Gopher, he freaks on you. At least when he worked on the Hill, that was the way. When he was a congressman, that's the way it was.
It was on Kudlow Report. That would have been funny to watch that meltdown. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, but I mean, you know, if you think about it, J.C. Watts, Steve Largent, I mean, it goes and on and on. You know, you really actually, I think I can think of Bill Bradley right now. I have a hard time coming up for one Republican, Democratic sort of sports icon, you know, actor turned politician, whatever, that I can find for every 10 Republicans, you know. So this seems to be a thing. They always need to be in love with somebody, and it happened last time around, too, you know, as you're saying. Giuliani. Giuliani was, for a while, was going to be the great hope who was going to come and take his post 9/11 glory with him to the White House. You know, and this time, obviously, it's happening even more. Every time you turn around, there's a new one. They loved Mitch Daniels, and then he didn't run, and they loved Rick Perry, and then he did run, which was probably worse.
Right, and Tim Pawlenty, right? Tim Pawlenty was going to be the big savior, right, of the Republican Party. I mean, people forget that. Tim Pawlenty, people were sitting like, wait till Tim Pawlenty gets into the race. Then you're
He's not even a savior to dry paint.
But it was stunning how much of a flop. Fred Thompson, like you said, Fred Thompson was going to be the guy. Watch out for Fred Thompson. But
that's right. He fit that total actor mold too, where they all have like little crushes on him.
It's all like these.
He's in Law and Order.
It's these daddy molds too. I mean, there's a sort of a daddy quality to this that comes through. Like, daddy's going to come and rescue us. But I think there's two things going on here. On one level, in this level that you're talking about, the Republican Party has, like you said, fell in love with Ronald Reagan, but they have fallen in love with a mythical Ronald Reagan. Like, if you were to...
Well, think about it. George W. Bush was a mythically great... Go ahead, sorry.
Well, no, but you're right. You're right. But they fall in love with... Well, listen. George W. Bush also ran as a compassionate conservative, and there was a lot going on with Bush. You know,
I don't mean originally, though, but I'm thinking of mission accomplished Bush.
Right. No. That's right.
They gave it the little action figures of him, you know, with the socks and his pants, you know, and the whole thing.
Have in my house, I have action figures of Dennis Miller as a conservative, of Ann Coulter, of Donald Rumsfeld. At that time, they were in sort of hyper psycho drive. You know, it's like it's post 9/11. You know, Dennis Miller is going to save the country because he's the one. He's the anti Bill Maher, whatever the you know who.
Right,
whoever knows
you know, it's the same thing. It always is. It's funny with conservatives, like they hate gays because secretly 50% of them are gay. you know, it comes from that sort of traditional conservative to go back during days of slavery when, you know, they portrayed African-Americans as being sexual addicts. Meanwhile, all these white, you know, owners were raping their slaves. It seems to be, you know, there's this thing that streams through conservative thought in the history of the country, which is essentially whatever they all want to do, they freak out about it and accuse the other side of doing.
Right. There's a big projection.
And right, so they lecture on golden calves and tell everybody, oh, you know, you can't have false idols. Meanwhile, everything from Wall Street to Ronald Reagan to dollar bills to big, you know, aircraft carriers to guns that shoot lots of bullets. I mean, they've got so many idols in their lives. There really is no room. There wouldn't be any room for the Bible, frankly.
Well, and as they create these myths, I mean, I went around in New Hampshire of 08 with a camera crew and interviewed people as to everybody who was holding signs for a candidate. I went to all of the Republicans, you know, like a bunch of people. And I asked them, and to a person, it didn't matter who they were holding a sign for, I asked them if there was anybody else in the history of the Republican Party, is there anybody else you would like to be running right now? And they all said Ronald Reagan, and, except for the Ron Paulites. And then if I suggested...
In the history of the Republican Party, you wouldn't want Abraham Lincoln
or Teddy
Roosevelt.
But they would vote for Reagan over their candidate right now. But the thing is that when you line up what Reagan's policies were, things like amnesty, things like raising taxes, they would freak out at a candidate like that now. So they're in love.
They have a candidate like that right now.
It's Rick Perry.
I would say similar to Reagan in terms of actual ideology, which is John Huntsman.
Right.
Rick Perry in persona, but if you actually look at the stuff Huntsman's for, all the things they're actually angry at Huntsman for, that's because on a number of the areas where he's quote-unquote more moderate, he actually resembles Reagan.
And so they're in love with this mythological figure that they have just called Ronald Reagan, with really no relationship to Reagan's policies. You know, the figure they're in love with looks like Ronald Reagan. Not now. It doesn't look like the one that exists now, the one with who's just bones. But
I haven't seen The Crypt, but I'm guessing he doesn't look all that good these days.
No. And so they're in love. So they can't really get they can't really fall in love with a real person because they're so far to the right and they have such a stringent purity test that they can't get behind any candidate. So let me ask you this. What does it say about it seems to me that after that last debate, the Republican establishment, you know, and their minions, guys like Rich Lowry, even Ann Coulter, the George Wills, a whole mess of these people came out and said, wow, this is it for Rick Perry. He's done. They really – because, you know, and Karl Rove famously hates Rick Perry. He wants them out of the race. They get this intense push to get to bury Perry, and Perry seems to be now fading. But they also must be very worried about Romney in terms of his real ability to get elected, because why else would they be so excited about Chris Christie?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think it's a combination of their worry about Romney and also, obviously, a lot of people in the base. Romney's a Mormon, so that means he's a cultist, which, again, is hysterical considering they're all cultists. I mean, you know, because it's being a religious Mormon is definitely a lot crazier than handling snakes and stuff going up in some of the other church, the evangelical churches in the mountains.
Right. Well, they don't have a problem that he's in a cult. They just have a problem because he's in the wrong cult.
That's exactly right. He's a cult. That would be the honest answer if they wanted to give it. But, you know, otherwise, there's the fact that, again, you know, he's too moderate. He believes that that global warming exists. He doesn't want to do anything about it, mind you, but he does believe it exists. So that's a bridge too far. You know, some basic things I think that's right, he believed in, I think, domestic partnerships, which, of course, is against everything Jesus said, unlike what they're all for, because Jesus was all about death and predator drones and you know, stuff like that.
I would love to see Christie at the end of this. I would love to see Christie jump into the race. I mean, only for a short period of time, because I'm convinced that Romney is actually the easier candidate to beat at this point. In some respects, I really do think he might be easier to beat for Obama. And as much as you know, you and I have talked nearly every week of our problem with Obama, you know, I don't want President Romney or Perry, for that matter.
Right. No, that's true. And I mean, you have to always sort of split this stuff up as somebody who cares about this stuff. You know, I want, obviously, us to have the best possible president. And as somebody who has to, you know, who follows this for a living, again, I'd love that process, getting there, of course, to be the most entertaining process possible, where Republicans just do unbelievably outlandish things to each other. And I think having the pizza delivery man join in the primary would be one of those things.
Oh, it would be fantastic if Herman Cain became their nominee. That would be quite enjoyable, I think.
Oh, actually, I was thinking of Chris Christie, because he looks like the pizza delivery guy. But you're right. It's a good point you make. Herman Cain is actually, and you know what? That's actually a great segue, because what's going on? Herman Cain's shooting up in the polls. You know, he's winning things, and he's winning straw polls in Florida.
Well, that straw poll you can sort of buy, can't you? I mean, that's just. But Yeah, it's
except for if you're Rick Perry, then you can't figure out how to buy it.
Well, I'm convinced that the reason why Herman Cain is doing well again is because they're using Herman Cain as a stalking horse for Rick Perry. I mean, this is a way of bleeding Rick Perry of his support. I think
establishment Republicans pumping money into Cain, knowing he can't win. I think that's probably actually a good thesis. They wouldn't do it with Bachman because they would worry that maybe she could actually win the primary.
That's exactly right. And you remember down in Florida, that was the site, I think, of the first debate. And that was the one where the ethically and follically challenged Frank Luntz did his immediate focus group after it. And like 23 out of 27 people said Herman Cain was their guy after that debate. That was before even Romney or Perry were in the debates at that point, and Pawlenty, I think. Or no, maybe Pawlenty was in it. And they said, Herman Cain is our guy, and it was all about, like, he's the real black guy in the race.
he's the real black guy.
It's sort of insane, and so I think he is like a perfect stalking horse. But let's put this aside for a minute.
What you got to love, though, quickly, about the Republican Party is that every 4 years, it seems, maybe not last time, I'm trying to remember, but they're able to fit a crazy black guy into the a far right guy that really is so far removed from the actual African American community that it becomes comical. Your Alan Keyes, if you will.
Right.
So, I'm trying to decide who's. I think Keyes was a little more entertaining than Herman Cain, but. So it's good that they have someone to fill that role of the person who they say they like, but if they saw approaching them on the street, they'd run in the other direction.
Yeah, I mean, Keyes, I think, was sort of full-on batshit crazy. Herman Cain, I just find him to be he's only as crazy insofar as he really doesn't know what he's talking about. And so, it sounds...
And that's the kind of crazy the Republican Party can embrace.
Exactly. He is completely unintellectually crazy. Alan Keyes is just literally his, I think, a very smart guy who's just gone completely crazy. But Herman Cain is just like, doesn't know anything about foreign policy. I think he knows very little about macroeconomics. But he knows a lot about branding, and so... $9.99, it works in pizza. That's what we're going to call our plan, $9.99.
Right, and it doesn't really matter if it has any relation to good policy. It sounds good. Just have all the taxes be at 9%, except for capital gains, which is zero. So really he's being dishonest. It should be 9.90.
In parlance of selling a pizza, it would be $9.99 and no more cents. $9.99, including tax. I mean, it literally, I can assure you, that he sat down with some marketing people and he was just like, I have made my living on $14.99, $12.99, $16.99, $9.99. This is how I have made it to the top. I priced my pizzas a penny less than, and so they sounded like they're a full dollar less.
He named his pizza Godfathers, which meant people were actually picturing Chris Christie when they're trying to think of who owns
the
place. To bring it all full circle.
And all right, so let's turn for a second because I want to talk to you in about 6-7 minutes. I'm going to be talking to our special Majority Report correspondent down at Occupy Wall Street.
Nice.
But give me your sense of I'm more interested in like how you think the liberal establishment is responding to Occupy Wall Street. I think things are coming around, but give me your take on it.
I mean, that's exactly the way I put it. I think they're coming around. I think in a lot of ways, protests can start off this way, and I think initially it was a group of people that showed up because genuinely there was no agenda other than that they're angry because their country and they are being ripped off. And it's sort of a different gallery of different people. And from what I've seen, obviously, I think there are some socialists there, and there's some who are younger kids and whatever. But it seems like there's, at least from what I can tell, a mixture of folks. And I do know someone who's been down there covering it. And I think the liberal establishment more we've gotten away from the tradition of protest on the left in this country. It seems to happen on the right mostly these days. People on the left are scared. They may seem unserious if they do it. So I think certainly the media initially ignored it. I mean, that's obvious. But I think as it's gone on, you know, more people have gotten involved, and now I'm hearing unions are going and joining in, and I think, you know, these folks who went out there seem to have inspired people, which is great. They inspired me. I think people need to stand up and be, you know, have their voices heard. A terrible, terrible thing in a democracy. So, you know, it seems like actually after initially people in the establishment left not paying too much attention, it seems like they're starting to pay more attention.
Yeah, it occurred to me over the past like a day and a half that one of the things that's really stunning to me is that when, you know, at first there was sort of some hand-wringing. Look, they're not professionalized. They're not, the list of demands is not so specific and you know, they're not following agenda. And I've had people call into our program, you know, in the better half of the show and make that same argument. What's stunning to me is that if this happened on the right, and in fact it did, you know, the original Tea Party was essentially what followers of Ron Paul called themselves. And that, of course, went away after he lost the election, after he lost the primary. But Rick Santelli sort of brought it back with his rant against poor people and, sort of like...
He had his Alan Keyes moment.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Koch brothers, the AFP, the Heritage Foundation, all of them jumped in to fund this sort of Tea Party movement. They basically took it over, what was left of it, and rebranded it, you know, and it was essentially, we know statistically speaking, this is just essentially longtime Republicans who are theocrats. That's just statistically speaking. I'm not even making my own assessment there. This is what studies have shown as to who these people are. And on the left, though, you know, you have people complaining there's no message. Well, that means there's a vacuum for you to spend your millions of dollars and get in there. And if you want, and I'm not advocating this, but it's just sort of interesting to watch how the left doesn't work to get in there and actually co-opt what they're doing down there to promote the message that you are selling. And so, you know, it's interesting that people would rather just bitch about it rather than sort of seize this opportunity. And I'm glad to a certain extent that didn't happen, because I think what's happening down there organically is going to be better, frankly, than it being professionalized in any way. But it's just sort of an interesting attribute that I noticed.
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, it's even amazing that it didn't happen until now, you know, that there wasn't this kind of organic protest. I mean, you know, look at where things are. We're in a pretty insane situation right now. It's like you take the economics of the 20s and combine it with the social unrest due to war and other factors of the 60s, and you have what we have right now. That should be a combustible enough mix that you would expect there'd be a lot of people out there. You know, and when I say out there, I don't just mean on Wall Street. I just mean in general, from, you know, anti-war protests to you know, inequality protests to economic ones, certainly. And it seems like that's starting now. You know, it took a while, but, you know, again, I didn't live through the 30s or 60s, so my guess is that these things will happen immediately. I guess the anger needs to build over a while, and they need to, when they do happen organically, they need to sort of take some time to develop, I guess, you know, until people finally have had enough and they get out there.
You're right.
And certainly, you know, I mean, certainly that's where we are right now, and you know, that I think that the thing about for people on the right or defenders of the status quo that's scary is, you know, culture is one of those things that is, you know, it's not static. It moves, you know, and people are always scared to be the ones to go first. But when you have people go first and have a protest, there's some success to it, you know, that's a precedent. And suddenly others are looking who want to protest about the fact that the Supreme Court is taking away rights from certain minorities, or that, you know, that we're staying in certain wars that we have no business being in, or no one can define what the hell we're doing there anymore, or a variety of other things. So, you know, I think that probably should scare the hell out of people in the establishment that don't want this to happen.
You're absolutely right. Cliff Schechter, we've got to say goodbye. We're going to take a break. Thank you, Cliff, for joining us.
Thanks, man. Good to be here as always, Sam.
And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Jeff, our guy on Occupy Wall Street. We'll be right back. Sam Cedar, Majority Report. All right, folks, we are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report on the phone, direct from Occupy Wall Street. Our buddy Jeff,
you know him by his IM handle, don't be a putz.
Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. I'd like to preface this interview by stating, for the record, I'm not a cop.
Yeah, my understanding now, you've been down there now. We spoke to you the other day when we were on site, but you've been down there now for like the full, what are we now at, almost 14 days, right? Or is this 13 days?
Today is day number 14.
And you've been down there for most of those days, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
And at one point they thought you were a cop.
This is true. I think anybody over the age of 30, as the old saying goes, you know, might be a cop.
Well, I can assure you that if you are a cop, you've been working this deep cover for a long, long time. And so, at the very least, if you are a cop, I want to just say kudos to you, sir. You have been doing a great job.
Thank you.
So, all right, now give us an update. Now, the other day, my understanding is that the union airline pilots from the Airline Pilots Association demonstrated down in Wall Street. Were they at Zuccotti Park?
They were actually down the street right in front of the New York Stock Exchange, and a bunch of people from the park went down and marched with them in solidarity. We're starting to see a lot of more sort of national unions, national and local unions stepping up. And in each case, the same with the postal workers when they had a demonstration earlier, people went out there to support them. And as of actually right now, today's scheduled march for starting at noon, as opposed to going down to Wall Street, they've decided to mobilize and join a Verizon demonstration that's going on. So they're going to be marching in solidarity with the Verizon workers this afternoon,
wow,
leaving
now,
from Zuccotti Park.
And where are the Verizon workers?
I'm not sure exactly of the location. They've tried to not be explicit about what the march plans are.
Certainly not around you, right?
Exactly. Exactly. No, I mean, overall, I'd say, again, the crowds here this afternoon are, 500, 600, 700 people strong in the park. A lot of people continue to come up and are interested. And it's really funny, Sam, because the media keeps harping on this issue of what's the message? What are you guys trying to say? And yet, somehow the rank-and-file New Yorkers and other people are walking straight up to the table, putting $20 in the jar and saying, right on, I support exactly what you guys are doing. So somehow the message is, in fact, getting out. And I think it's sort of a jujitsu that this group has done on the corporate media in that, what really this is about, and I think you astutely pointed to the idea of process as opposed to message, but what I think this group is saying is not about what they're saying, it's what they're doing. And the fact that the people are here and are occupying the square and helping each other and employing, what they call direct democracy. Some people may not understand that term, but it's as opposed to a representative democracy. And I think the idea there is that our current representative democracy is sort of broken down, and it doesn't really represent us anymore. So by taking the form of a direct democracy in the General Assembly every day, you actually, see what the people want, and you hear a direct voice, and nobody else is responsible for someone else's message. And what I think that's enabled this group to do is to take a bunch of disparate voices, and a lot of people have different causes, and what you find is that on all the things that everyone agrees on, there's a lot of consensus, and that's really what the group can say. So you have your Ron Paul people here. And if they were to propose, returning to the gold standard, that probably wouldn't get a 90% show of hands. But when you say things like, end the war, or everyone has the right to education, or health care, or a living wage, immediately it's virtually unanimous consent. And so those are the kind of messages I think will eventually come out of this.
It's just so fascinating that what's happening. And I think... you know, people are very afraid of this word, and I want to use this only in the most sort of academic way as possible. But what's happening in that park is radical. It is radical in the most sort of like dry academic sense, in that they are not going through the traditional processes and traditional distribution mechanisms for information. They are not going through the traditional funding mechanisms for something like this. And it's freaking everybody out, I think. And the only people who are starting to sort of not get freaked out about this are, I think, frankly, the unions and those groups. You know, October 2011 is, which is staging its own massive protests in Washington in October. They're all starting to appreciate that. Look, it doesn't matter that they're doing it in a way that we don't do things. The energy is really there, and they are becoming the center of gravity for the dissatisfaction that people have in this country. Now, you were telling me earlier in the week, I think it was on Wednesday, that the numbers you were seeing on Wednesday, and Wednesday it was raining, right? Didn't Michael Moore also broadcast from there? But that you said on the march that took place, there were more people there, almost a factor of two from the week before. Has the numbers been growing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think what happened on Saturday and the sort of police intimidation and, you know, brutality that went on only galvanized the crowd, and frankly that created, you know, the only media coverage that we've gotten,
right?
And that's what I think has made people kind of come down here, and they want to see what it's about. But what I've seen also during this week that's been really surprising is that it's gone from people coming up saying, what is this, what's going on, to either, I totally agree with what you're doing, here's some money, keep it up, thank God for you doing this, no one else has. And then even more surprising is literally, I mean, yesterday I had a woman come up to me. She was probably late 30s, Hispanic. She said, I just finished filing my bankruptcy papers. I've been unemployed for 2 years. How do I join? What do you want me to do? Another, you know, 30-year-old woman from New Jersey just showed up and said, I'm unemployed. You know, how do I become a part of this? And so it's not even that people are supporting it, but literally people are coming here and wanting to be represented. And, you know, the great thing about the General Assembly is, literally, if you want to have your voice heard, show up here, be a part of the group, and you're in. And so it's true, you know, inclusionary democracy in a way that I think is obviously contrary to what our actual government has become, which is certainly exclusionary. And last point I want to make, I mean, you point to that it's being radical, and I totally agree. The methods, I think, are extremely radical to the corporate media. They're all about, you know, centralization, and we have the big microphone, and everyone listens to us and follows suit. But on the other hand, one of the things Chris Hedges said is that really this group is conservative in the sense that we're here about the rule of law, you know, that our government has really been taken over by the radicals, and the guys on Wall Street with all the money are basically, you know, bending our society into something that is almost unimaginable. I mean, the people here, you know, care about each other in a way that seems like moral truth. And the idea that somehow our country has, you know, flipped 180 degrees on that is a testament to, you know, the power of that tiny, small power elite.
You know, that's a great point. I think you're absolutely right. The process of what's going on down there feels radical. The message that's coming out of there, in fact, is not radical at all. It is more beholden to the constructs of the way that the system is supposed to be working than the way the system is working right now. And you know, it's interesting because there we're starting to see, you know, I saw it like on Twitter. I was on this gamer show on G4 Network, and it sort of like attracted a Twitter response outside of my sort of more narrow confines. And the resent of what's going on down there is very interesting, because I think there is that sort of like there is a quality of what's going on down there that is in some way so sincere and so earnest that I think it pisses off people, because they resent they resent that people can be that sincere and that earnest and get along with each other in that way.
I think that's part of what national media does as opposed to being more localized. I think when you come here in person and you see it for yourself, there's only one reaction. You know, it's really hard to get down on the people that are literally sleeping on the ground and, you know, scrounging for cover from the elements. It's truly inspiring. And that's what I think is starting to draw, you know, many of the media celebrities that you see coming here, is because it's inspiring to them. And for sure, the older generation sees this as something that they thought was sort of dead and gone in this country. And so I think for an entire, you know, generation of older people that thought their country was lost, they see this as thrilling, exciting. I mean, it's truly incredible.
And Jeff, I know you got to go, but let me just give you, let me just ask you, have you heard, has there been any updates at all about the legal status of the park? I mean, the last thing I heard when I was down there was that there was ongoing conversations with the city to try and determine what the legal status of the park was and whether or not that would allow for things ultimately like tents.
I have not yet heard that. I mean, clearly, if they had legal grounds to evict us from the park, it would have already been done. So we know that, you know, on some level, they can't make this thing go away. Now, as far as the next step of putting up tents, I mean, we've just been, you know, slowly kind of trying to push the boundaries to see what they'll allow us to do, even with umbrellas and when the rain comes, you know, putting up the tarp a little bit higher than it was before and making them come in and put us down. But the legal situation, I don't really know what's going to happen, but from the talks I hear, you know, internally, people are more concerned about what happens when this, you know, grows too big to even be confined for this park. What are we going to do when this movement, you know, has to move to several locations, things like that. So my sense is that this is definitely growing faster than they're going to be able to tamp it down or try and make it go away. And if ultimately, you know, something kind of violent or nasty happens, I mean, I think that's the worst of what could happen here for sure, and I certainly hope that doesn't happen. But given what happened a week ago and the fact that they realized there are cameras out here, everyone's armed with some kind of citizen media, I'm not sure, you know, they know what to do. I mean, this is like uncharted territory for the sort of, you know, new media age we live in. And like you said, I mean, this is a radical group in that we've totally bypassed the mainstream media, and I think they're really scared. I mean, I can imagine that they're scared, and that's how I know that it's working.
Exactly. Well, Jeff, thank you so much joining us from Occupy Wall Street. We'll check in with you next week, Jeff. We're so lucky to have you down there, and I'm really appreciative of what you're doing, not just by, you know, helping us out on reporting it, but just being down there. It really, kudos to you, Jeff.
I appreciate it. I actually saw Allison Kilkenny down here last night for the first time, and, you know, she's definitely, you know, catching your vapor trails in terms of covering this story. I think most of the kids down here are way more down with Sam Cedar at this point than something called Citizen Radio they never heard of.
I hope those Citizen Radio people heard that. Those young, I was going to call them Young Turks, but that would be confusing. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, take care, Sam.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. We're going to take a break. Hey, you know, it's Freebie Friday for you you freeloader types. It's Freebie Friday, which means you're going to get the whole show for free because I'm too lazy to cut it in half. But this would be a great opportunity for you to become a Majority Report member at majority.fm. 33 cents a day, you support the show, you allow for things like that remote broadcast from Wall Street, and maybe in the future we'll even get better technology so I won't even be tied into the power, won't have screw-ups. For those of you who are listening to this remote, you know this is better than it's ever been, the quality of the sound. Part of it's because I'm learning how to do it and I'm making it easier by technology that is allowed for by members. And it's members that keep me independent and able to say what I want to say and, you know, basically what I think is the truth. All right, we got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking, yes, to Chris Rosen. It's Freebie Friday, but it's not free of some of the, well, you know. All right, we'll be back in just a second. All right, folks, Chris Rosen forgot about it. Hold on, let's try this one more time here, shall we?
Movie phone.
Big shot senior editor, eh?
Vertical editor.
Here is your theme song. You sit in a dimly lit room watching movies and you dress like a slob.
I'm actually in an office now.
Jimmy Riffin Cakes got to ask. You said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how did you get that job?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. How did you get that job? On the phone, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Rosen of MoviePhoneLine.com.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
I'm good. I see that you forgot that you were doing this today.
Maybe. A little bit. Kind of slipped my mind.
Well, you got so many responsibilities at MoviePhone.
That's right.
I mean, you have so many verticals to edit.
That's right. Oh, I'm very impressed that you remember that.
Well, we put it into the theme song. We have you.
I didn't hear it this week. You didn't have me on it.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I'm not quite at the point where I can actually. I suppose I could have done that. I suppose I could have rigged it that you could have heard me through the microphone. I think. But not today, folks.
Ah, well, that's too bad. But I'm sure it was a lovely song. Jimmy Reefercake always does a good job, so that's good.
That's right. And we have Jimmy Reefercake and the Screaming Majorities offerings coming up later in the program. So for those of you who don't know, this segment started out with Chris Rosen giving me who worked at the time at MovieLine.com, giving me a suggestion, a recommendation,
yes.
A review, if you will, of a Netflix movie.
I think it was
of a Netflix. Let me excuse me.
Oh,
excuse me. Of
yes.
A Netflix movie or a Amazon on demand, because I don't really get a chance to go out to see movies in theaters ever because it's too expensive to have a babysitter, and my wife will let me go out alone, and so And then, you know, as the segment wore on, really wore on, Chris Rosen switched over to become a vertical editor at moviephone.com, whatever that, which I think obviously means nothing. And I mean,
that's not true. That's not nice. I do a lot of work. It's a great website. I mean, everybody should come check out moviephone.com. So I've got a lot of good coverage this week on the new movies that are coming out, 50/50, and What's Your Number?
Whatever. And so then it turns out that Chris Rosen had never claimed to be a movie reviewer, according to him.
That's right. No, that's true. You just kind of inferred that I was. But that's okay. You know, we had a little disagreement on that, and we moved forward, I think, amicably, and it's going well.
Were you aware that I thought you were a movie reviewer?
I don't know. I'm not inside your head, Sam. But, I mean, it's nice that you think of me that way.
It's just so weird. It's just weird.
I got some good stuff for you this week, I think, even though I just happened to glance at Netflix and Amazon, you know, momentarily, right before you called.
So you just basically go to the front pages of these things, and you see a movie, and you're like, oh, okay, as opposed to, like, thinking of a movie and seeing if it's on those outlets.
Little, I just kind of forgot that I was coming on. But it's no problem. I'm a professional, obviously, and I'm capable of doing this, so, you know, things are...
Have you ever heard of a movie called Buck?
Ever heard of a movie called what?
Buck.
Yes. Is it about the horse whisperer guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard of it. It came out last year, I think.
It's in the movie theaters more or less now.
I don't think it's in the movie theaters now. I could have sworn it came out last year. But if it is in the movie theaters now, I've heard it's a good movie. I never got to see it myself, though.
Yeah, I got a chance to actually go and see it.
Oh, was it good?
I'm not telling you.
Well, whatever. I don't care. I'll never see it. But a couple of things you could see if you want me to give you some recs.
Yeah, I'd love some recs. Is that the term you guys use? Is that like you got to be a vertical editor to?
Actually, I just thought of that off the top of my head this instant.
Wow.
But one thing I saw on Amazon on demand that I saw this last week, and it's very good. You could probably rent it now on Amazon. Is the Cameron Crowe documentary on Pearl Jam? It's called Pearl Jam 20. Have you heard of it?
No. Is it good? That sounds almost interesting to me.
Yeah, it's actually very good. I don't know, to give you the history, Cameron Crowe has had like a long history with Pearl Jam and with the Seattle music scene and stuff. And when he was first directing, you know, his second movie was Singles, and he directed that because he wanted to like really get a lot of Seattle bands like out. And it just so happened that that coincided with like the grunge explosion. So he's known Pearl Jam for quite a while. They're actually in Singles. And so he's accumulated a ton of footage from the band over the last 20 years, because this is their 20th anniversary year. Ten came out, their debut album came out in 1991.
Jesus, am I old.
Right, yeah, I know. So anyway, he accumulated all this footage that they had, and it's, you know, and he put together a documentary. It's going to be on, it's on Amazon now. I believe it's going to be on PBS at the end of October. It's a part of the American Masters series. But it's out now in the movies, and it's also out on Amazon On Demand and on Time Warner On Demand if you've got that, if you're listening at home. And it's actually a great movie, especially if you love Pearl Jam. They go through the entire history of the band, and it's, you know, but it's Cameron Crowe. He interviews everyone in the band, and he's got a lot of cool footage, and he cuts together a lot of things that maybe you've never seen before, like Eddie Vedder and Kurt Cobain slow dancing together at the MTV Music Awards or whatever in 1992. And a couple of clips of Kurt Cobain talking about Pearl Jam. He famously didn't really like Pearl Jam, but he actually respected them, it turns out. And it's a lot of great stuff and a lot of interviews with the band. As a huge Pearl Jam fan, I was a little disappointed because it kind of, if you're a very big fan, it tells you stuff that you might have already known. But if you just remember them from 10 and you're like, oh, what has this band been up to for like 20 years? You know, this is a good documentary.
You know, I gotta say, this is actually, I think, an interesting pick, suggestion.
I think you'll like it.
I think even, like, you know, obviously a broken clock can be right twice a day, and
there you go. Blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
I'm gonna watch that tonight.
Oh, good. Yeah, you should. It's really a great documentary. I highly recommend it. I saw it last week. I definitely liked it, and I will be watching it again, I believe, soon. So.
Well, you know, Chris, I'm hesitant to ask for a second movie because you've done so well with the first.
Maybe we should quit while we're ahead.
You know, in the spirit of Rosh Hashanah and the period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where people like myself are supposed to evaluate how they have treated people over the course of the past year and to apologize to those that they have wronged, and think about it and be thoughtful. And I'm going to take this opportunity not to apologize to you. Right now, because I think, you know, to the extent that I have, to the extent that, you know, we've had any type of issues with each other, I think they've been deserved, at least on your part. Now, I don't know if you're Jewish, but this would be a good time for you to apologize to just about all the listeners for pretending that you were a movie reviewer.
No, I never pretended that, but, you know, and I don't like apologizing to people I don't know, but I'm glad you don't apologize to me. I think that's really nice of you to say. I appreciate that. And, I can give you another recommendation if you want, but like I said, I think we should quit.
Yeah, I think we should probably quit while we're ahead. And Chris, yeah. I want to wish you a happy, healthy, Jewish New Year.
Same to you, Sam.
And let me give you... Oh. I just gave you a hello.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah,
I thought I lost you there.
No, you didn't lose me. I just blew a shofar.
Oh, well, I don't know what that means, but that sounds fun.
Well, yes, it was a lot of fun. Well, Chris Rosen, thank you so much. The movie. What is the name of the movie again? He hung up. He hung up. Well, whatever. We know it's the Cameron Crowe documentary on Pearl Jam. All right, folks, and now it is time for our news and review with the week. And, of course, as always, it seems like now we have two really great contributors, particularly Mr. Reefer Cake, apparently when his cousin... is back into it. He definitely seems to do to pick up his game. His cousin, I mean, which is not to say I'm not saying anything about Jimmy Reefer Cake. My point is that his cousin sometimes family comes into town. It brings up your game a little bit. So let's go and listen to. Let's see. Oh, you know what? Jimmy's going to be upset, but I have... Jimmy, I didn't get a chance to upload your newest version of this, so I'm going to do the Republican Assholes, which I think, you know, in and of itself, the title, I think people are going to enjoy. And so here is the song. This is Jimmy Reefer Cake, Republican Assholes.
Drink a bottle of beer. Happy New Year. Happy Rosh Hashana. Smoking marijuana. Republicans are too nasty. The Democrats are too nice. If you think Obama's gonna get played, you better think twice. These Republicans are assholes, I guess. Obama's playing 13-dimensional chess. That's right, Obama's gonna get nasty and tell the truth. Just look at these Republican assholes and you've got the proof. Got no health insurance, poor freaking guy. GOP audience, cheers if you die. Military servicemen greeted with booze. You are a woman, you got no right to choose. Republican assholes, man, they always get in the way. Republican assholes.
Republican assholes. Republican assholes. Republican assholes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. There's a Jimmy Reefer cake. Apparently, he sent me a new one and had redone his vocals on it. I thought it was a pretty good offering this week. And now it is time, of course, with a little bit of explanation. Hi, Sam. Like you, the screaming majority is old. You know, the Citizen Radio has been going around and crapping on all of you people for being old, and I think there's only one way to show them that you're hip or with it, as the kids say today, which is to nominate the show for a podcast award at podcastawards.com. Podcastawards.com. We'll put the link up on the site. It's the last day you can do it. And you can go nominate us for the best political news show. It's down on the left-hand side of the page. Scroll down. Just put in Majority Report or the Majority Report and put our URL as majority.fm or majorityreportradio.com, whatever you prefer. And, you know, so I'm not that old. You know, the bus driver who took us to Shoal yesterday, because we had to go to a remote parking lot, he said he thought I was in my 20s. So there. Hi, Sam. Like you, the screaming majority is old. Well, maybe not old, but not young. So not young, in fact, that when we hear something about Warren Buffett, our collective brain immediately thinks, is he related to 70s beach bum pop star Jimmy Buffett? Then we realize that many times we've asked ourselves this question and have always known that the answer is no. Like I said, not young. Here with Buffeteria, another Dan Killian opus. This is probably lost on a lot of younger listeners, thank God, but nearly everything in this song is an homage to Jimmy Buffett. From the forced rhymes and the sing-songy meter to the many Buffett lyric references to the fact that the steel drum part is played by a white guy on a keyboard. However, Dan threw the line at the vocal performance and sang it like Nick Lowe. Drew the line at the vocal performance and sang it like Nick Lowe. And there was much rejoicing in the screaming majority. Enough with the plutocracy, Dave. Oh, yeah, and here is the song. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you from the screaming majority, Buffeteria, which I know if you are a parrot head, you will enjoy.
I've got a new buddy. And his name is Warren. He says his secretary's paying more taxes than folks like him aren't. Warren said that's not right, so he wrote an editorial. Read it for myself one night, and I turned it into my golden rule. I got my latest idea from the Buffeteria. Ran it past the Congress that wouldn't pass it in a million years. But me and my buddy Warren Buffett, we know that we can rough it. So sit back, relax, it's just a tax on a millionaire. Now your tax return my claim that there's a woman to blame. If you ain't giving back enough, me and Warren think it's a shame. We're going fishing together on his great big yacht. We're both on a mission to get people giving back when we got what we got. I got my latest idea from the Buffeteria. Ran it past the Congress that wouldn't pass it in a million years. But me and my buddy Warren Buffett, no John Boehner, he can stuff it. So sit back, relax, it's just a tax on a millionaire. Some people gotta get by on nothing. Some get away with murder. Some people think they're the genius because they're the son of an entrepreneur. I love my Buffett rule, but Warren would go even further. He says a $10 million tax bracket would be like paradise in a cheeseburger. I got my latest idea from the Buffetteria. Ran it past the Congress that wouldn't pass it in a million years. But don't you cork the champagne. It's a do-nothing Congress, so start the campaign. Watch these hacks attack attacks on the millionaires. Hey, there's the salt.
Oh, my God. These guys, the screaming majority is, their work is transcendent, ladies and gentlemen. They're working on so many different levels. They can't even, I don't know if it is possible to find one individual out there on any given day who is genuinely appreciating the screaming majority, everything they're doing in any given song. It's stunning. And if I had my applause button here, that's what they'd be hearing right now. Folks, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, I will take your calls at 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. Of course, I will also read your IMs at Majority FM. It's Freebie Friday, basically because I didn't, I guess I could do some name dropping. It's Freebie Friday and Name Drop Friday. I was on Attack of the Show, folks, by remote, so I didn't really meet anybody, but it was pretty exciting for me. But we'll talk about it in the better half of the show, which has already started, actually. I'm just putting this musical interlude to give myself a little bit of a break. All right, we'll be back in just a moment, 646-257-3920, or I am at Majority FM. Oh, incidentally, I won't be able to cut this in, but this is usually where I think we put in a clip of the Best of the Left podcast. Check it out, Best of the Left podcast.com, I think it is. Because I subscribe to it. It's a great podcast if you like all things left. All right, I'll be back in just a sec. Oh, all right. Well, there you go. I'm not so great on the board, I guess. All right, folks, let's go to the phones. Hopefully this will work here. This should work. Hi, how you doing? You're live on the show. What's your name? I'm sorry. Let's try it again. You're live on the show. Hello? Hello, are you there? Why can't I be heard here? Let's see. That should be there. Hello. Somebody was calling from a 773 area code. And I cannot hear them. They cannot hear me. Strange. Board is up. Let's try it again. Sorry, we'll have to try somebody else.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to practice animal motor development here in Canada.
Wait, are you calling? Hold on for 1 second. Hold on. Stop talking for 1 second. Are you calling from a 204 area code?
I am. I'm calling from Winnipeg.
Ah, okay. Hi, what's your name?
My name's Arthur.
Hi, Arthur. How are you? Okay, so what's going on, Arthur?
Arthur, how are you?
I'm good.
Hang on, okay.
Are you listening to me, or are you listening to the radio?
I'm I'm listening to you.
Okay. So, no, I was asking, how are you, Arthur?
I'm well. I've got a bit of a cold, but I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. So what's going on?
Well, what's going on is I wanted to talk about a development in Canada with, we have a legalized injection site now.
Okay. You have the what in sight?
Sorry?
I
can hear you. I'm partially deaf a little bit.
Oh,
we have a legalized injection site now in Canada, British Columbia, and Vancouver. It's a place called InSight. Our Supreme Court ruled today that that's legal and the federal government can't ban the use of safe injection sites. So I think that's a really big development because I'm hoping it's going to spread throughout Canada and hopefully influence public policy in the States.
So you have a legalized injection site? Is that what you said?
It's a bad line.
Yeah. All right, Arthur, we're going to have to try it again, but I appreciate the call.
Okay. I'll try it again some other time.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good day.
You too. Sorry.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, we may try the calls just in a little bit later. We're just having a little bit of difficulty with it. That happens. That's not such a strange thing that occasionally we would have some problems with the phone system. Maybe sometime in the future I will be able to figure that out better. But maybe we'll try one more call if somebody calls in a little bit later. But sound wasn't so great for them. All right, let's go to the IM. If you do want to try calling, we could take one more call. We'll try it again. The number, of course, 646-257-3920. Let's go to 2250. Don't sweat Citizen Radio. You don't want their audience. Despite Allison's intellect, Jamie manages to keep it in the gutter, fitting for high schoolers and the underdeveloped. Folks, what I'm not sweating Citizen Radio. Are you following on Twitter? You know, it's just a little Twitter war. And, you know, it's just a little intramural Twitter ribbing. So, no worries. I'll get those kids. I'll get those kids and I'll teach them a lesson about respect for your elders. That's what I'll do. Neffer. Good morning, Sammy. Hope your New Year celebration with the family has been a wonderful time so far. How is Mila enjoying her first Rosh Hashanah? Old enough to kind of understand the holiday a bit. You know, she enjoyed it more when she didn't. Although last night we had a wonderful meal with some friends up here, and so she enjoyed it. What? He is? Are you? Wait, Matt is IMing me, and he's saying that actually Jamie is seriously pissed at us right now? No, he's not. Seriously? Well, what are you going to do?
Oh, that's funny.
He's really upset about it? Wow. He's a little sensitive about that. Tell him not to worry. It doesn't matter. It's not about who covers it first. It's about who broadcasts from there first. So he shouldn't worry. All right, I'll check it out. He'll deal with it. Neffer, I am so glad you got to go and see Buck. Isn't that an amazing story, a great movie? I thought it was a great story. I thought the movie was okay. I thought it was a little weird they didn't talk about his brother. Let's see, Jamie Kilstein. A majority, when someone states a lie that has nothing to do with youngins versus old people, jokes as facts, isn't radio. I actually promoted Sam's Wall Street episode. There's a big difference between ribbing and bullshitting. What is he talking about? Did I say that we, who said that? Jeff? Tell him to take it easy. I think Jeff was just referring to broadcasting or, I've read Allison's stuff about... Occupy Wall Street. He's got to just take it easy. 7-6-7-6-5-4.
I live in Cincinnati, and since I can't be there to support the protesters, I just sent them pizza from Majestic Pizza, a local place, not a chain joint, and they deliver. And you can order on the web. Good for you. You get one of those. I have that on my machine. Well, my family is home. We've got a cats with fleas. Oh, saw this and posted to my Facebook. Obama is not a brown-skinned anti-war socialist who gave away free health care. That would be Jesus. The Christ was not anti-war comment I'm getting from conservative friends of mine are hilarious. Oh, and I ordered my Kindle Fire using your Amazon link. Enjoy the kickback. Thank you very much, Kyle. I think the real genius of what's going on at Occupy Wall Street is the absence of a clear leader. There doesn't have to be a leader. If there was one, the media would personally assassinating them right now and delegitimizing everything. See WikiLeaks and Julian Assange. I think you're absolutely right. I think that's an excellent point. And not only that, I also think that if they had specific demands, they would be being delegitimized. Listen, as soon as they come out with demands, that's when the media is going to dismiss them full hog. They're going to say, oh, that's not possible. And hold on for 1 second, folks.
You guys need to be a little bit quieter.
I just had to yell at my family to be quiet. Chris Rosen took 6 levels of improv to come up with that Rex shtick. Also glad the news coming out isn't just police confrontations and unions are attacking. I'm happy now. Jeff definitely is no putz. He is so cogent and good on the radio. Hey, where is Michael Jackson trial news? Is there a Michael Jackson trial? Sound is terrible on the call sound. Sounds like Portishead. Yeah, I got rid of the call. Call did not sound good. Sam, any ideas for how someone like me, virtually unemployed, without the financial or logistical means to support the Occupy Wall Street movement? Oh, and sorry about the Red Sox. I shall contain my schadenfreude from here. You can just see the shit-eating grin on Rosen's face when he says, I just glanced at the front page of Netflix. Yeah, exactly. Well, it depends on where you are, amateur left. I mean, there are Occupy Wall Street's sort of, I guess, satellite things happening all across the country. You know, Chicago, Boston, L.A., I think San Francisco. So, you know, you have opportunities there all over to get involved. And you can also go, oh, there's a wonderful site entitled, where is it? Just found this site. It is We Are the 99%, I think. I'm going to post it on, I'll find it. And, oh, here it is. We Are the 99%.tumblr.com. Matt will put that on the site. It is messages from people that they're doing from a distance. And this is something that you could do, amateur left, actually, very quite well. Go to We Are the 99 numbers, 99%.tumblr.com, not to be confused with the 999 plan. We are the 9999, which is the Herman Cain fans. We'll put that link on our blog, and that's a great place for you to at least participate in that respect. I'm in Denver. Yeah, okay. Check out that site. That's going to do it for you. Jason Parton, Sammy, your mic is kind of hot. You might want to roll the gain down a little bit. All right. If you say so. Heavy music didn't start in Seattle. It started in Katy, Texas with the King's X, Jeff Dement, Pearl Jam. All right. And finally, my off time PM'd from the first bit of the show. I am 27. I'm down with the majority report. I'm piking up what you're saying, what you're laying down. I can't. I don't understand that lingo that you 27-year-olds have. Piking up with the – no, can't. Do not. Sorry. Dradman Thieves. Sam, 2 cookies for your coverage of Occupy Wall Street this week. The movement was worth it, even if it just
it reminds us about all the things that we should be pissed off about regarding Wall Street. The financiers, giant corporations, want to deprive our government of revenues by not paying taxes, create a plutocracy, take away people's job security and pensions. And on top of this, they want to constantly try to steal away the one shirt we have, social insurance, from the government in the form of Medicare and Social Security. Long live Occupy Wall Street. Dradman Thieves, Occupy Margaritaville, Jimmy and Warren Buffett, an unstoppable juggernaut. Skanglinskak, do you ever see Grover Norquist's letter to Warren Buffett about wanting to pay more taxes? Sounded exactly like your right-wing troll Primer. Maybe Primer is Grover? It's possible. Grover's a very strange guy. Sam, I suggest you take a big stiff drink before each Chris Rosen interview, says the Evening Star. Every time you talk to him, you get so rattled that you press the wrong button and disconnect him or play an inappropriate sound effect or turn off half of the New York City or something like that. I'm hoping that a good drink will help you relax a bit more. Yeah, I could have done it today. Scream a majority for the win, says Chris64MM. Longdoggy67, the reason Citizen Radio has a less mature audience, and I mean that in every sense of the word, they have segments with talking genitals, and they say fuck every other word. If you want their audience demographic, just swear all the time. Have Matt's penis talk in a funny voice, and maybe bring on a guest vagina now and then. Also do the show in short shirts. I like their show. I'm a fan of their show. And if Jeff said that I was the first down there, or if I was the first reporting, I think he meant that I was down there. I don't know. Look, I don't really do much reporting. And so if Allison or had been reporting from there before, you know, certainly I apologize on Jeff's behalf. And, you know, when you're young, you get upset about these things. It's all, you get a little upset. I understand. I was young once, too. Long Doggy. Jamie is a bit hot-headed. He's also violent. So watch your back. He may try to choke you out or pee on you. That's his strategy for defeating tall people. Yeah, well, with some people, I guess if you pee on them, they assume you're actually doing them a favor. And so... Clower, the screaming majority alone is worth the $10 a month. You are lucky to have stumbled upon them, or vice versa. I'll tell you something. Stunning, these guys. Stunning. The screaming majority, it's... We should do a live show. Like a rock show. Or like an easy rock show. For us oldies. Union lets train pass without incident. Invites Longshoremen. EGTs and CEO to work on a solution. Law enforcement wastes more on public resources providing private escort for multi-corporations project. Is Longview. This morning, multinational corporation EGT brought a train of full of grain into its port Longview grain terminal with extensive security provided by public law enforcement agencies. The International Longshoremen and Warehouse Union permitted the shipment to pass without incident. Given the abusive tactics of railroad police and Cowlitz country law enforcement acting the private security for the EGT when they physically accosted sisters, wives, and mothers and peacefully protesting on the Port of Longview-owned tracks the last time a train came in, we chose to be the first ones to tone down the intensity in an effort to send a message to Larry Clark, CEO of EGT, that it would be prudent for him and in the best interest of all parties to sit down with ILWU International President Robert McAuliffe to settle this dispute. The only real method of resolution is for that meeting to take place as soon as possible. And Radiohead is playing at Occupy Wall Street at 4 p.m. today. Holy cow. That's huge. That's huge. You know, it's interesting. And I know that I've mentioned this before, but Fran Lebowitz came on our show many times in the past, on the Majority Report, and maybe I'll get to talk to her about this, because she said the only way we're going to see a change, she used to say all the time that the problem with liberals is money, and the only way we're going to see a change is if it is cultural. Something happens culturally, And you know, what's happening down on Occupy Wall Street is as cultural as it is political in many respects. That's awesome. Cool J 146 heard Arthur, the caller. He said, in Canada, the Supreme Court apparently upheld the legality of safe injection sites for addicts. Yes. He said, it's a big development in hopes of spread to the States. His volume was really low at first, but I finally got it. You're welcome, Arthur. Thank you, Cool J. Have you heard about other cities' occupation events? I've heard zero coverage in any media, but haven't been seeking it out. The Guardian had a report on 200 people getting together in Boston, and apparently there's something in L.A. Maybe I'll try and ask that dude from Attack of the Show if he can give me a report on it. Cool J 146, I like Citizen Radio, but I wonder if Jamie's commentary will diminish with time as he gets punched in the head more and more in MMA. That's like, he does like some type of mixed martial arts, right? Is that what it is? Rich Champion. It's Chem Champion. Hopefully this works. The article for Jimmy Reefer Cake. ATF is banning medical marijuana users to buy guns. Did you read Melissa Harris Perry's article stating that white liberals are declining in support of Obama due to racism? Yeah, I thought her piece was really unfortunate and poorly written, and her response was poorly written. I thought the whole thing was pretty poorly written. There's no evidence that white liberals are declining in support for Obama and at a rate any faster than any other group. And her argument is that I think it has something to do with, like, we had over larger than life expectations for Obama because he was black or whatnot. I think that's a really hard argument to make. You know, some of the biggest liberal voices in sort of declining their support, the most challenging, as far as I can tell, are guys like Cornel West. You know, I think it's wrong, you know, and I think it's unfortunate in particular that you get that from someone who is ostensibly sort of like an academic. It's really sort of weird. But, you know, she also criticized Cornel West and Tavis Smiley for speaking out against Obama. I think she really, 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 really supports Obama. That's what it sounds like. Just got an email from University of Washington, Alan West, professor of chemical engineering at Columbia, that he's speaking here. How must he be hating life now? I don't know if I know who that guy is. Sammy Kammer. This week's Screaming Majority song. Did anyone else hear echoes of The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down?
I've got a new buddy, and his name is Warren. He says his secretary.
Maybe. Maybe that's just comes with the Buffett territory. Not a coffee drinker, but I keep ordering for others, just coffee. Thank you. Oh, well, thank you. You're going to get this. Now, I'm being liberal with the... shofar, because, of course, it's the season. Carton Dangerous. You should have family come down and say hi. Family come down to where? Morella 622, very good point, and that's why the mainstream media is upset that there's no clear leader and no clear message, which is not true, by the way, because they don't have a definite target to attack. You know, I keep going on TV and I keep saying, like, well, you know, there is a clear message. We are the 99%, and it's Occupy Wall Street. It's not Occupy Museum of Natural History. You know, it's not Occupy a church. It's not Occupy Central Park. It's not Occupy, I-95. So there is a message, and they know it, and they just want even more specific, because then if it gets even more specific, they can't argue with that. They can't argue that we have incredible income disparity, which is the 99%. They can't argue with that. They can't argue that something's horribly wrong, that there is no accountability for Wall Street, and they continue to spawn too big to fail banks. They can't argue with that. So what they want is, what they're really asking for, is there a list of demands that we can more easily delegitimize? Oh, you guys want an eight-sided Pentagon. Of course. You're crazy. No, they cannot argue with the demands that are there now, and so as such, they don't recognize them. They cannot argue with the message of the protest now, and as such, they would decide not to recognize it. Which is why people are still getting down there, despite the fact that there's a, I don't know, media blackout is exactly the word, but certainly a reluctance or a lack of incentive for them to report on it. Still getting tons of people joining it. So why is that the case? Because they obviously know. Big Sunni. Happy Rosh Hashanah, Sam and family. I think the kids at Citizen Radio have a chip on their shoulders because they are just jealous that they were never able to go to CBGB's in the 70s. Just send them a Violent FM CD with some Just Coffee and wish them well. I did try listening to them after 20 minutes. Me and this chit-chat, I gave up. After Majority Report, I would take This Is Hell before Citizen Radio, but I appreciate that they're out there. But yes, thanks to the Wall Street coverage, and I especially the Bobby Kennedy interview. Both were amazing. I hope Evan will stay on as a Majority Report emeritus. Matt's doing a great job, though. He seems to be on the ball technically with great social and political sensibilities. I am thrilled to see Majority Report sending these guys out into the world with their Majority Report training. Janine in New York on Oberman. Will she make an MR guest appearance? Well, you know, she regularly does, as Senator Catherine Harris. Oh, but will she get in studio, you mean? We don't really have the capacity in studio. We had it once. It's difficult. Studio's difficult. Maybe we could do it on a Friday, though. Check out Teabagger Paradise from Mike Rowley. It's also a Buffett-inspired interview. Let's see. Yeah, it sounds like. I'm sorry, that's good. But
I've got a new buddy.
That's great. Steel drums. The one you sent is good. But that's great. You just can't. You cannot go toe to toe with Scream Majority. It's impossible. It's just impossible. Maggie's boy. Let's see. Allison Sam. I will cry, and then you'll be the guy who made a girl cry. Don't do it. What are they getting so upset about? David Benjoya. Hey, Sam. Thanks for the kind words. Can you ask Don't Be a Putz to look for me at the protest? Say hello. I'll be down there today with my trombone. Tomorrow, too. Yes, I will. I'll send him an email. That would be great, you guys hooking up. Hey, Sam. Hi, Johnny. Just wanted to say Happy New Year. Thank God I was too busy to go to synagogue myself. Have a great weekend. You too as well. 701, I stopped watching MSNBC after Cenk left. I stopped listening to the Rachel Maddow Show podcast when Melissa Harris Perry said black people shouldn't complain about Obama because Obama wasn't trying to deny that he's black. It's honestly pathetic how some establishment types try to defend the administration. And I'm not saying Citizen Radio or Rachel Maddow or bad people are doing anything good things. I prefer to walk the edge of raving lunacy and paralyzing sycophantry. That's all. Citizen Radio? What does that got to do with MSNBC? No, Citizen Radio is out there. They're no apologists. Pat Goatee. Oh, wow. Old Pat. I will check it out. Let's see, I got Jimmy Reefer Cake. You played the drunk version of my song. Check out the other one. It's smoother, but if you think the drunk one sounds better, then boy, do I have an excuse to drink in the future. Well, I don't want to promote that whatsoever. Jimmy Reefer Cake, of course. All right, folks. That's our time for today. See you Monday. We'll be talking to Glenn Greenwald about America's first successful, completely unilaterally authorized, with no due process, assassination. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely, folks? We'll be talking to Glenn Greenwald on Monday.
And then something will happen on Tuesday.
And then on Wednesday, I'll be down at the Campaign for America's Future conference because of your largesse. And I'm working on figuring out a way of recording the panels I'm on, presenting that to you folks. And I'll be doing the show from there. And then on Thursday, I'll do the show from somewhere else, probably back in the studio. And then Friday will happen, and then there'll be another weekend. Then following that, there'll be a Monday, and then another Tuesday, and another Wednesday, and we will keep doing this! As long as some of you freebies who got the Freebie Friday chip in. All right, folks. See you then.